Okay, 3, 2.
3, 2, hit it!
It's time to double down with Max and Stacy on Sputnik Radio. It's time for double vision on Double Down with Max and Stacy, with both Max and Stacy plus our special guest, Max and Stacy. Stacy, what's happening?
Well, Max, I like to do these double headers once a quarter so we could look, you know, back at the quarter that we just passed and the one we're about to enter, because, you know, it's been quite an adventurous one. I'm going to go over the list of names now in the ring to be the Democratic nominee for the 2020 presidential election. And we have Elizabeth Warren, Senator from Massachusetts, Beto O'Rourke, who was a congressman from Texas, Kamala Harris, Senator from California, Bernie Sanders, Senator from Vermont, Kristen Gillibrand, Washington Governor Jay Inslee, former Colorado Governor John Hickenlooper, former HUD Secretary Julian Castro, Representative Tulsi Gabbard of Hawaii, Cory Booker, Senator from New Jersey. He's, by the way, dating Rosario Dawson, according to the news. Amy Klobuchar, a Senator from Minnesota since 2007. She's the one that ate her food with her comb. And Pete Buttigieg, he's a mayor of South Bend, Indiana. John Delaney, he's a former congressman from Maryland. And Andrew Yang, a tech executive. So the field, I guess Joe Biden as well will be running, or perhaps. And, you know, that's the full scope so far.
Right. You know, when I was growing up, the people who ran for president, it was kind of a small list. You know, you had like former generals like Eisenhower. You had people in the party for years. You know, Nixon had been in the party for years. John F. Kennedy was part of a family that had been part of the elites in America for a couple of generations. And then with Trump kind of turned the presidency into like a dot-com bubble or a cryptocurrency bubble or a stock bubble from the 1980s, where just everybody now has the thought in their head that they can be president of the United States, which is absolutely true. Anyone can be president of the United States. And people look at Trump and they say, wait a minute, if he can do it, then I can do it. So why not throw your hat in the ring? And that's why we have so many people now.
I want to focus on one area, and that is Silicon Valley, because it's important to the platform of three of the candidates. Of course, I mentioned Andrew Yang because he was a tech executive, but he's also in the news because his primary platform is UBI, which is Universal Basic Income. And many of the tech, billionaires and tech bros are really for UBI because they see the future and they see that that basically most people are not needed, right? So I guess in order to avoid wealth redistribution that maybe Bernie Sanders might do, they'd rather have universal basic income. Then you have Elizabeth Warren, the senator from Massachusetts, and her platform is breaking up the trust. She wants to be a trust buster. In particular, she wants to break up Amazon, Google, and Facebook, and the power that these tech giants have. And then the third candidate I want to bring into this conversation is Tulsi Gabbard from Hawaii, because she is very anti-war. And the fact is that much of Silicon Valley basically gets their funding from the Department of Defense. Like all of their inventions, many of their inventions anyway, are a result of DARPA contracts. So they're allowed to, you know, basically the Department of Defense gives them huge budgets without any sort of oversight and allows them to go wild trying to find a solution to a huge problem that the Department of Defense presents them. So these are, I think these three platforms kind of unite in that place of Silicon Valley.
Yeah, this UBI, Universal Basic Income, is really interesting for a number of different reasons. You know, there used to be a thing called the hunter-gatherer, where humans were self-sustaining on planet Earth. They were not working for anybody. They simply sustained themselves from what you could call the Garden of Eden. Nature provided. And then you had the agricultural revolution, some dated at 10,000 years ago or 15,000 years ago, but it was still agriculture. And people still made their life in agriculture for another many, many thousands of years. And all over the world, particularly in China and elsewhere in India, that's still the way people made a living up until a few years ago. It's only been in the last really couple of generations that we've seen a transition to a post-agricultural world where we've completely divorced ourselves from the land. And now we're talking about artificial intelligence and robots taking over all jobs, not just a few, but all jobs, and enter this idea of universal basic income. I think, in my view, it's more of an existential crisis because we have separated ourselves from planet Earth in a lot of ways, and we're now kind of throwing the ball to the machines. We've given up as humans that we can no longer sustain ourselves without machines. So that's my first take on UBI. Second of all, okay, Andrew Yang, he's a supporter of UBI. If I get what you're saying, basically that plays into the Silicon Valley machine, that this is going to be the next great wealth generator for Silicon Valley. Is that right?
No, the exact opposite is they don't see a future for the majority of mankind. The human worker is not needed in their worldview. You've seen some of them warn about it, like Elon Musk. He warns about AI and what they want. Instead, they have their billions. Mark Zuckerberg is worth over $50 billion. Elon Musk is worth some billions. Who knows? These guys do not want wealth redistribution as the answer. They don't want a redistribution of wealth. They don't want tariffs. They don't want trade wars because, of course, all of their surveillance technology, all their data gathering is global. So what they're hoping for is that the let them eat cake moment. We'll give these guys some brioche. We'll give them $1,000 a month, and therefore that we won't get beheaded by the peasants. And we have to worry about the peasants because we don't want them to take everything. So we're going to be benevolent Bill Gates and Warren Buffett sort of guys, or Bono and Geldof. We're going to give them some money. And aren't we generous?
Well, yeah, in that context, I can see it. You know, they're trying to keep the rabble rousers at bay and keep themselves out of trouble from the masses. Certainly with these protest movements like the Yellow Vests in France, that would definitely be on their list of top worries. I think this was something just a couple of years ago. Remember, billionaires were polled and they were really concerned that the common peasants were going to come after them. So this is now getting to be serious.
There's been another story this past quarter, you know, unfolding over the last 2 weeks, and that is the 737 MAX 8 that crashed in Ethiopia. And this ties in with these stories because the platform for Elizabeth Warren, who, by the way, when she posted her platform onto Facebook, Facebook banned her for her platform using Facebook, that she would break up Facebook, and then they reinstated her. But her platform is to break up these sort of trusts, these monopolies, these oligopolies. And of course, we do have them very much so in the manufacturing of aircraft. It's basically Boeing and Airbus make, you know, all the jumbo jets, certainly around the world. Maybe you have Embraer and Canadian regional jets that are in the more regional jet area competing there. But certainly Boeing is a behemoth, right? And the news that's unfolding about that is quite remarkable. And it shows that we need to start busting up these trusts, because the fact is, they were basically self-regulating. They didn't have to, I didn't realize, but they had to basically, in order to increase efficiency, they radically altered the way the engines are placed on the wings, but they didn't want to have to go through the expense of re-architecting the frame of the, you know, the main body of the plane, so that they could continue using the old bodies of the plane. And that caused imbalance in the plane. So they used software to override that. So that comes in two ways. That introduces the notion of antitrust, but it also, on this software front, everybody thinks, like, you know, software is going to replace all humans. We don't need humans. Robots and AI are going to replace them. But this is a radical flaw that happened in the humans in this situation. The pilot and the co-pilot were not able to override the software that told them that the software figured it knew better because humans are flawed.
Yeah, it seems like fault tolerance creep. You know, for many years, cars would have flaws, and manufacturers knew that they would cause accidents, but that was the price they paid to mass produce cheap cars. And this is true of all manufactured products, whether it's toasters or cars. But, you know, when you're talking about airplanes, you know, that's another story, isn't it? Because they're up in the sky, they're flying up there, there's hundreds of passengers, they could crash into each other. And people get really sensitive when airplanes crash, they can crash on people's homes. So this fault tolerance mentality seems to have met its Waterloo with the airplane. Now, Elizabeth Warren, as far as breaking up trusts, if there were more competition in the airline business, you would have less of this fault tolerance mentality for sure. And across the spectrum, if you had more competition in all these tech companies doing what the tech companies do, you would have more competitive tech companies and more jobs. That's the greatest thing about having more competition, is you have more jobs. When you get rid of competition, you get rid of jobs. And since jobs are number one, people want jobs, I think she's on. I mean, what she's saying there is right. I mean, it's a great target to attack. The U.S. is blighted with too many monopolies, that is for sure. I mean, it's a good ripe target to go after. So, I mean, on that score, I could say, yeah, she's going to get some traction.
And then let's turn to Tulsi Gabbard, because, again, she ties all of these together. Boeing, about half of their income comes from the U.S. government, the Department of Defense, and the other half comes from selling to, you know, nations around the world, to airlines around the world to sell their aircrafts. And of that 50% that is to private sales, about 40-45% came from the 737 MAX. So who knows what's going to happen there? But certainly here, Tulsi Gabbard, who I think she did three tours in Iraq. She's a veteran. And so she's seen combat, and she's very anti-war and very anti-combat. And she, of all of the candidates, is getting probably the most vitriol from the mainstream media. I mean, there are still some people who are very bitter about Bernie Sanders because he would have won. He would have beat Donald Trump. And somehow they think that he exposed Hillary Clinton for the loser that she ultimately became. But Tulsi Gabbard is across the board. Her anti-war position has basically receive the most angst. But what do you think if we actually had an anti-war president? I mean, I think that is the step too far. I think we, you know, all the deep state, all the people of the world would allow Donald Trump. But if you're going to pull out of war, that's not possible.
Right. Tulsi Gabbard is really interesting. You know, she would be the absolute opposite of Make America Great Again type of MAGA hat wearing blind patriotism, where foreign policy is never questioned. I think I would position her as being not necessarily anti-war, but being smart foreign policy. In other words, sometimes when you think of an anti-war candidate, you think of a hippy-dippy kind of peace-loving person, like a Bernie Sanders. To me, seems more like a Vermont hippie than, let's say, Tulsi Gabbard, who, as you point out, she's served her country. She's gone to these locations. She's been on the front line. She's been in war. And so her approach to foreign policy would be based on intelligent warfare. So she would look at the defense contractors and she'd say, you know what? There's billions and billions and billions that's being wasted here. We need to have an intelligent policy. We have to defend ourselves. I know that. I've been on the front line, but it makes no sense to simply be the world's policeman. Those are words that come out of her mouth. She says, we shouldn't be the world's policeman. And so she speaks so eloquently and with such presence. I mean, she just has a rock solid approach that is hard to argue with. She was on, you know, that show, a late night show with Stephen Colbert. And, you know, Stephen Colbert is a very right wing supporting guy who has a certain mindset. And she just like sliced and diced any of his quote unquote jokes and did very well.
Well, certainly one has to ask, you know, with so many economic problems in America, despite the booming stock market, we do have the case of Flint, Michigan with lead in their water. We do have in Kentucky, there's 44 people who have died of hepatitis A. Nobody dies of hepatitis A except for in America. We have increasing mortality rates. So there are things that it seems like at a certain point, all this hurrah, we need to go defend the people of Venezuela. We need to save the people of Benghazi. We need to save the people of Syria. You know, the fact is, if you're drowning as well, or when you're on a plane, by the way, and they say, you know, when the oxygen tanks, the mask comes down, who do you put it on first? Yourself, in order to be able to even save anybody else around you. So at a certain point, we're on that plane and we need to put the oxygen on ourselves and stop, you know, sending it overseas first.
Brace, brace. Brace. Yes, America needs to assume the crash position and get with the program and get the oxygen flowing and get ready for this 2020 presidential election, because it looks like it's going to be a corker. And that's going to do it for the Double Down, Double Down, Double Vision with Max and Stacy. Until next time, this is Max and Max, Stacy and Stacy saying bye, y'all. Bye, y'all.